Finally this month, scientists at Southampton University have some good news about the problem that is lung fibrosis, where patients' lungs become stiff and gas exchange is severely impaired. Prevailing wisdom was that this was caused by a build-up of excessive connective tissue, and indeed you do see that in end-stage disease. But by studying biopsy specimens from patients early in the disease course, Mark Jones has discovered that the structure of the collagen in their lungs is different, and he thinks he can intervene with drugs to retard the progression.
I'm a lung doctor, and one of the conditions that I see a lot of is lung fibrosis, and in particular a type called idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. Unfortunately, we don't have very effective treatments. And one of the questions I really wanted to start out to address was to understand exactly what's happening at the time that fibrosis develops. So how does it start and what progresses over time? And the thing that we chose to focus on was collagen.
Now, if one looks at the lungs of a person diagnosed with fibrosis, what do you see, both macroscopically but also down a microscope?
We can look with a CT scan. We see that the bottoms of the lungs are scarred, so you see lots of little white dots on the scan, which shouldn't be there. And there's just far too much protein there. And we think that that's extracellular matrix. If you look even closer down with a microscope, you see more and more of these changes, but we really don't understand why they start.
And when you look at the composition of those proteins that are building up, is it just more of what we should have there, or is the distribution and the different concentrations of the different components wrong?
So we don't really know. There's a concept that collagen, which is really thought to be the main building block of the lungs from a structure point of view, is increased over time. But one of the challenges is how you relate that to other components. We don't have a very good way of measuring and comparing.
So what did you actually do then? Who did you study? And how did you try and get to the bottom of what is actually causing this?
We wanted to look at collagen. It's quite complicated in the way that it can assemble. So you can start with an individual brick or collagen fibril, as we can call it. And each of those is around 1/1500th of a human hair. But when they then join together, they get bigger and bigger. And so when we want to look at it, one of the questions we can ask is, well, is there more collagen there? Or is actually how the collagen's joining together changed? And one of the things you can look at there is cross-linking.
Because obviously these diseases are complicated, and what starts the process may not actually be where you end up, as in you could end up with lots of collagen there in someone who has end-stage disease, but that wasn't what caused the disease to start happening in the first place. So can you get a handle on that?
Exactly. So one of the ways that we can diagnose fibrosis is by taking a surgical lung biopsy. We were able to use the tissue, which wasn't needed for diagnosis, to actually look at the changes which had happened in the lungs at time of diagnosis. Normally, studies have looked at very much end-stage tissue, so we were very fortunate to be able to look at this tissue at time of diagnosis. What we found, actually, the amount of collagen hadn't increased, but when we look at each collagen fibril, there seem to be fundamental differences. They're smaller, and the way that they join together seems to be more intricate, so they have more cross-links. One of the reasons that that's important is actually that can affect how stiff the lungs become. And we know that the stiffer an area is, the more likely fibrosis is to progress over time. And so the question then is, well, what's driving those changes?
That's interesting, isn't it? So the collagen, almost the recipe that's being used and the way it's being assembled, has changed between a healthy lung or someone at the very beginning of this disease and someone who has got end-stage disease. It's not the overall amount of collagen, it's the way it's wired up.
Exactly. And that's a kind of a really important concept to think about, because actually when we then look at treatments for fibrosis, very often in the studies that we're doing before we're looking at trying a drug in patients, we need to think, well, what are the measures we need to look at? Very often we actually look at the amount of collagen as being proof that, yes, there's a possible drug and it's possibly might actually work in patients. What we saw was that actually that amount of collagen seems far less important. And what we really need to focus on is how is the collagen structure changed? Because we think that that might actually be something which might have far more benefit from a treatment point of view.
Apart from finding that the strands are physically different in the sense they're a bit smaller and they are stiffer, how have you managed to unpick or untwist, if you like, these strands to work out why they are like that?
One of the kind of challenges when it comes to studying something like fibrosis is that we can look in the tissue, but we know that's just one time point. And really, to then try and unpick what might be the underlying mechanisms of this, we need to be able to look in models where we can look at changes over time. And so we were able to use cells from patients and actually start to grow little areas of fibrosis. And we can look at the collagen over time. We were then able to work with pharmaceutical companies with drugs which targeted some of the changes that we identified. And we were able to then start to unpick how those changes might relate back to the patient.
So do you think this is almost a bit like a prion disease in the sense that you get an abnormal folding of a protein that then makes more of the same? And that once the collagen starts to abnormally behave, it then encourages more collagen to behave badly?
Exactly, yes. I think this type of feedback loop, which can self-perpetuate fibrosis, is definitely something that we saw from our data and other groups have shown.
And the pharmacology that you think you can throw at this, how does it work? And is it very effective?
We were able to look at the specific types of crosslinks that we thought were altered, and we can use a specific drug which is able to inhibit those crosslinks. And I think the studies that we did, it works very well, and we seem to get a resetting of fibrosis. But the next step is really to translate those treatments from our studies into human studies. And so the very first part of that, the phase one trials, are in progress at the moment. So hopefully there is the potential for this to be of real benefit to patients in the future.
Well, that's great news indeed. Mark Jones there from the University of Southampton.